The Pure Table is the title of today's message, taken from our text, Exodus 37, verses 10 to 16, cross-referencing to Leviticus 24, 5 to 9, and Exodus 25, 23 to 30. We have seen the instruction for the construction of the tabernacle. We have seen last week the construction of the Ark of the Covenant. It was the most sacred furniture in the tabernacle, placed in the most holy place. This is the very throne of God. The high priest will enter once a year on the Day of Atonement to make atonement on behalf of the nation of Israel. And that was the most holy place. And separating the most holy place from the holy is the holy place where the Levites would minister daily. And there are three furnitures there: the golden altar, the golden lampstand, and the table of showbread. I've given you here a picture, right? A picture of here, the table of showbread you see here. This is the altar, and here this is the golden lamp stand. You see the priest there ministering in the holy place. The Levites will do so on a daily basis. So there are three furnitures there in the holy place: the golden altar, the golden lamp stand, and the table of showbread. Okay, all right, for you to see. Yeah. So, three thoughts for our consideration: the significance of the table and its size, and thirdly, the showbread. The significance. As we look into it, we will find that in the text in Exodus 25 and verse 23, which gives a connection between the previous item that was to be made, that was the Ark of the Covenant, with the making of this table. There is a connection, and Pink, A.W. Pink, he made this very good observation, which I want to share with you here. It says here that in seeking to ascertain the spiritual purpose or purport of the table, the first thing which arrests our attention in the divine description of it is the word "also" in Leviticus 25:23. Found only once more in connection with the holy vessels and furnishings of the tabernacle. And you see this also in Leviticus 30, verse 15. This "also" at the beginning of our present passage suggests a close link of connection with what has gone before. In the preceding verse was read, "And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat." And then following right after this, "Thou shalt also make a table." So here, I think, if you think carefully, there is a connection that is quite clearly emphasized between the making of the ark and the communion of God with his people. It says here that with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. Then later, it is mentioned about the table. "Thus, God has graciously hung," he says, interestingly, "the key right over the entrance and told us the table has to do with communion." There is a link there, and this is mentioned later on. We see as we look at the high priest, right? What he does as he goes into the Holy of Holies once a year, he would sprinkle the blood of the animal upon the mercy seat 7 times, right? And and signifying the atonement, right? That on behalf of the people that was made by the sacrifice of the animal, pointing to Christ, right? He will be the sacrifice, right? That the blood that would enable us to go all the way, right? To reach the most holy place, right? To commune with God, right? And then what is interesting here is that there is the table that is outside, and the relation, right, with the table, with his people, right, speaks about fellowship, the fellowship of God with his people, right? And here you would it's interesting that if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you would see this connection of the table with communion. It says here in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 10, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I would not that you would have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of demons." The Lord's table is a symbol of fellowship with Christ. In separation from all other authorities. So here we are speaking about that relationship and that communion with Christ. So here, when we think about the table, what does it conjure to you? Well, the table was made in the holy place with the bread to be placed over it, right? And this bread is to be an offering that would be brought by the people to God, right? Signifying a fellowship that they have with him, right? And we shall speak more about this, but what we would want to think about is this, that it is a description of the fellowship that Christ has with his people. And the bread itself has that significance, because in John chapter 6, Jesus gave these words. Jesus says, making a link to what we are speaking about, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which come down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." So this communion is speaking about that communion with Christ. He is the one who came down from heaven, and he is the living bread, right, which came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, Jesus says, he shall live forever. And that bread which I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Right. So the Jews said, they strove among themselves. John 6, 51 and 52. Says, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of God and drink of his blood, you shall have no life in you." So what is he talking about? Well, Jesus is speaking about that fellowship that he has with his people. He is that bread, and we are to partake of him. in order that we have life. He's the giver of life. Right? And the eating and the drinking is symbolic. Okay? It's symbolic of the fellowship, of that relationship that we have. All right? So, well, we'll talk about it a little bit more. Right? We'll look at secondly, the size. Verse 10 says, "And he made the table of shittim wood. 2 cubits was the length thereof, and 1 cubit the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And he overlaid it with pure gold, and made thereof a crown of gold round about. And also he made thereof a border of a hand breadth round about, and made a crown of gold for the border round about." So the table, right, is to be about 3 feet long by 1.5 feet wide, and about 2 feet, 2 3/10 of a feet high. This is the dimensions, and you can see it here. You can see it here in the picture. All right. It is about 1/7 of the length, right, of the tabernacle. And the table of showbread was made of shittim wood and is to be covered with gold. And there would be a gold rim that would encircle its top. And the gold rim would, there are 4 rings that are placed at the 4 corners. And then there would be 2 poles or staves made of shittim wood that would be able to be lined up with the 2 rings on each side so that it can be used for transportation. Okay, so it's a portable tabernacle. So every part of the furniture is portable. And this is what they will do, and this is what the Lord instructed them. 2 Chronicles 13 verse 11 says, "And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. The showbread also they set in order upon the pure table, and the candle of gold with the lamps thereof to burn every evening. For we keep charge of the Lord our God, and ye have forsaken him." Leviticus 24 verse 6. "And thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, and upon the pure table before the Lord." So on the table itself will be placed 2 rows of bread, 6 each, And dishes or bread pans were made for the carrying of the bread into the holy place. And with spoons, incense cups were filled with frankincense, and they were used. They are used to pour on top of the bread and burn on the altar of incense. Leviticus 24:7 says, "And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each roll, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord." So the covers, the bowls, were used for drink offering that accompanied the meal offering in the tabernacle. So this is what is being described for us here in this table. And then the showbread, Leviticus 24 verse 5 is described for us this. "And thou shalt make fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2 10-deals shall be in 1 cake, and thou shalt make them in 2 rows, 6 in a row, and upon a pure table before the Lord, and thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is the most holy unto him of the offering of the Lord made by fire, by a perpetual statute." So here they are told that on the table they are to make this bread of fine flour. Okay? And the word showbread, the literal meaning means bread of the face or bread of presence, because the loaves were set before the presence of the Lord. Right? As a meal offering from the children of Israel, it was bread that was laid in the presence of God. Right? There is this instruction that is being given. And we want to see what God said to Moses, all right? He says that this instruction were given concerning not just the bread, but also the trimming of the lamb that is to be lighted, right? The lampstand perpetually, and then there is the burning of the incense in the morning and the evening, and that fresh showbread to be placed weekly on Sabbath day. Right, so the Lord would look at all this bread that is set before him continually. Now, what is the significance of all this? You notice that it is said here in verse 7 of Leviticus 24, verse 7, "And thou shalt set pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even as an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord, continually being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant." So the loaves were placed in two piles of six and changed each week. And the loaves were placed on the table and they were sprinkled with frankincense as a memorial. And the remainder was burned on the altar of incense as an offering to the Lord. And the loaves were gathered from the 12 tribes each Sabbath, and is used in two ways. Right? They were brought as a unit by the tribe as a portion of their labor to be dedicated to the Lord's service each week. Now, you notice that the bread is something that God gave to them. And in that offering to God, they are remembering that this bread that God had offered to them, or what God had provided for them, they have not forgotten, and they have remembered to bring a portion each week. You remember when they were in the wilderness, God gave them bread every week. Daily they have on the sixth day two portions, right? Then on the seventh day there was nothing, and they were to gather each portion each day of the week, and the request for them to bring this bread was as an offering. Is by way of remembrance, right, to acknowledge what God had given to them, right? That, you know, God had provided for them that daily bread. Right. And this is their acknowledgement that all this is given by God to them, and in their communion with God, right, in a sense that in their making of the bread, right, it is for them to remember, right, that the Lord is the one who provided for them. Right? He is the one who provided for them the bread by which they were able to have their subsistence. So it speaks about the providence of God. That God is the one that gave to them what they have, all right? And then they are not to forget it, although it's just one piece for each tribe, 12 pieces, you know, in the sense that there are so many people in each tribe, but it's symbolic, okay? Symbolic of what they are doing, right, to return thanks for the good that they have received from the Lord. And they are to not forget, but to remember this all the time. Right? So when they were in the land, Matthew Henry, he puts it very well. He says, a thankful acknowledgement of God's goodness to them in giving them their daily bread, manna in the wilderness, where he prepared a table for them, and in Canaan, the corn of the land. Hereby they own their dependence upon providence, not only for the corn in the field, which they gave thanks for in offering the sheaf of the first fruits, but for the bread in their houses, that when it was brought home, God did not blow upon it. Right? You know, when our Lord was upon earth, he taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Right? So it is an acknowledgement, of God's providence for his people that we must not forget. And, you know, when Israel would go about, when they reach the promised land, when they receive the corn that is in the field and they have enough for themselves, then they begin to forget their God. Right? And it's a very frightening thing, right? Because instead of acknowledging their God as the source of their goodness, they begin to put their trust, their affections upon the corn that they see. Right? It's just like, you know, you look at your own bank account and you said that, there is so much that is laid up there. Right? I have enough there, so I don't need to worry. Right? So you put your security not in the Lord, but in your bank account that is there. You see it and you said, no problem. Right? Well, that's a picture, right, of what the Lord doesn't want Israel to think or behave. Right? That they forget that God is the source, right, of their livelihood. God is the source of their blessings. Right? God is the source of all the goodness that God had given to them. It's easy for us to forget. Israel departed very badly until God deported them out of the land for 70 years. And even after they came back, they were not... spiritually, they were very, very weak. And the people, instead of... taking the priority, right, to remember God, right, they were doing their own things, building their own houses. And the prophet Haggai was sent at that time, right, to chastise the people, right, to tell them to consider your ways, consider what they are doing. They have forgotten the Lord. They have forgotten that their blessing comes from God. And so whatever that they earn, right, the Lord, right, caused as if a wind to blow it away. Right? The Lord says that what you earn is put into a pocket filled with holes. That means they did not receive the blessings of the Lord, right, to fully appropriate what they have earned, right, because they did it not unto the Lord. You see, they thought that they could live their life separated from God, who is the giver of all things for them. And that is a spiritual ailment. Right? Spiritual ailment. When we think, you know, that we would depend on ourselves and we don't need God anymore. We are wise enough, right, to do our own things. That's where we begin to fall. Lucifer fell. He was the most beautiful of angels. God made him so well, and God put him high up, and then he began to be proud. He began to think that all these things is from himself. And then with five thoughts, God cast him down. Pride, that is the first sin, and it occurred in heaven. And the Lord doesn't want us to think, right, of our life outside of him. Life outside of him. How can it be? He's the one that sustained us, give us life, and how can we think of living our life outside of him? No way, right? That's why when the man of God understood who God is, how fearful they are, they said to the Lord, "Depart from me." They know that, you know, God is a terrible God. He's the one who gives all things, you know. Life comes from him. And how can we think that we can live apart from him? So this giving of the bread is as an offering to the Lord, right, is a reminder for themselves, right, that they are dependent upon God, and that all that they have comes from him and not for themselves. That's why in our worship, right, there is a portion where we would bring our tithes and offerings before God. Why do we do that? Well, it's a form of a sacrifice, right? Something that is tangible, something that would describe how much God means to you in your heart, in your life. And it is done in secret, right? Nobody knows, no one knows, but each one is accountable before God. And when the people of God, like in Haggai's days, the days of Zechariah, they became very desperate, because you see, it was a time of economic crisis. They were trying to fend for themselves, but they forgot that God is the one who is the giver of all things, you see. And so, if you know, from the time when we are poor, we don't know how to regard God, that he's the giver, we won't learn that good lesson when, you know, more would come, because we would not know how to fully appropriate, appreciate. And at the end of it, we're going to lose it all. Why? Because we would not have a right understanding of the source of our blessings. And that is very significant, because most of the situations that confronting men falls into that. We want to establish ourselves upon earth, that we, you know, we're going to have to, as if we are going to live forever here. We are not. We are not. And there are more to life than this temporal 70, 80 years, you see. And the Lord wants us to understand. And he wants our relationship to be right with him. That is why he always remind us that we must not forget him. And Jesus tells us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Why do you need to pray every day? to ask God to give, so that we may realize that all we have comes from Him, that we would not take for granted, and that we would not run off on our own. You see, the danger is this, that you know, we think that we are able by our strength, right, to do so. That's where we become very, very, we would become very, very disappointed, right, that it is not like that. Life comes from Him. That's why Jesus says, you have to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. That means you have to have that communion with me. Why do we partake of the Lord's Supper, the table, in remembrance of me? Why do we do that? To remember that He was the one who has broken down His body for us. He is that bread from heaven. You see, He is the source of life. He is the one that granted us the forgiveness of our sins. And so in the partaking of it, the bread and the cup, we are reminded, right, that life comes from Him. And we would confess our sins, that, you know, we have not done that which is right in the sight of God. And we ask God to forgive us. Right? We do so once a month. And it's a solemn time. Our Lord, through the Apostle Paul, tells us that before we come to the table, we are to take time to examine ourselves, take time to consider our ways. Right? So here, as you think of the table, it is a thankful acknowledgement of God's goodness to them, and it's also a token of their communion with God. Matthew Henry said very well, this bread on God's table being made of the same corn with the bread on their own tables. God and Israel did, as it were, eat together as a pledge of friendship and fellowship. He supped with them and they with Him. So the Lord wants us to, right, remember that communion that we have with Him, right, that we have that blessed relationship. And it's also a type of the spiritual provision which is made in the church by the gospel of Christ for all that are made priests to our God. You know, we are, in Jesus Christ, made a priest ourselves. Each one of us. We can draw nigh to God as a priest. And so, we have that role, right, of not forgetting, right, that what God had done for us through Christ, although, you know, we don't have to go through the rituals of what the priest would do in the tabernacle. Right? Light the lamb, check the bread, burn the incense. But it is that remind us to rekindle that relationship with our Lord each time. Right. So, what do you do to partake of the bread? Well, we take time to commune with God, right, in the reading of His Word. Right. That is how we partake of the living bread, or the, you know, the bread of His Word, right, that we take time to know Him, take time to be built up strong in Him. And that is what the Lord would want us to do. Right? And that that communion, that relationship between us and the Lord is such an intimate one. In other words, we must not take lightly, and we must not forget. That's why there is this perpetual covenant in the Old Testament that Israel had to remember. Okay. Why? Because we are very forgetful, you see. We are very forgetful. And if we have received of the Lord and we have been blessed of Him, strengthened of Him, then our response must be one of thanksgiving, one of grateful acknowledgement of what God had done for us. And so we would not forget to commune with Him through His Word each day. We would take time to understand and have fellowship with Him through the study of His Word, that we may have a deeper fellowship and communion with Him. Right? The more we know of our Lord, the more He's going to impart to us wisdom for life, the more we are going to be able to handle life. Right? You see, Israel, before they came to build the tabernacle, what were they doing? They were building what? The golden calf. You see, very frightening, right? Why is it like that? Why are they always running off on their own? Well, because this is the fallen nature. We just cannot, don't want to be, in a sense, subject to the authority of God in our lives, just as Lucifer. But we realize that there is not much we can do outside Him, right? Peter said to our Lord, after He fed the 5,000 and He stopped feeding, the people all left, Peter said, "Lord, where shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. Where else can we go? There's nowhere else we can go outside Christ. Outside Him, there is no life. There is no other source of blessing than in Christ itself." And so, what God wants of us is simply to follow Him, to obey Him, and to enjoy His goodness. That's all. Why do we want to seek our own golden calf? Why do we want to build our own golden calf? And that is the part that, you know, the people of God through the ages needed to learn. When they are fully in the Lord, in Christ, you'll find that, you know, there's so much peace, so much joy, so much of God's blessing coming in the way. Not that there's no problem, you know. You can be plagued with many problems outside, but inside us, there is a lot of joy, there is a lot of peace, there is a lot of strength, because you are receiving life from the Lord. And so, as you think about this communion, right, of the table, we thank God, right, that we have a part in Him through Christ. And so all these symbolic furnitures, all these symbolic description of the tabernacle is actually to help us to comprehend that relationship we have with the Lord. You see, He has laid down His life for us, you know. And then what is He doing at the right hand of the Father? He's praying for us. He's working for us, you know, in the sense that He's working for our benefit. Right? Jesus says, I go and build a house for you, right? And I'll return and bring you there. And He's at the right hand of the Father, interceding for each one of us to make sure that we'll be well, make sure that we'll be taken care of. And this is what He's doing for us. So how can we, you know, in a sense, run off on our own when we have the Lord who is, you know, the one providing all the things to strengthen and keep us? Makes no sense, isn't it? Makes no sense. That is why when we understand the goodness of God, we understand the greatness of God's love for us, then, you know, we don't want to go anywhere else. We are happy to be in the house of the Lord all the time, right? Because that's where we receive the fullness of His presence and His love and His provisions for us eternally. May God help us to understand and appropriate the good relationship that we have with Him and not forsake it or compromise it, right, by our own wisdom. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Your word. Thank Thee for Your mercy in granting to us Your grace to understand this table and the meal offerings that of bread that is placed there in remembrance of all that You have done to provide for us, and that we can partake with Thee and have fellowship with Thee of all that You have You have given to us by our thanksgiving. Lord, help us to be a thankful people. Help us to not forget all the goodness that we have received from Thee. May You bless our hearts with a right understanding. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.